President Bush and his party make a formidable adversary for Democrats beginning the 2004 election cycle. The president's high approval ratings and fundraising strength are two factors. Democrats also have more Senate seats at stake than the Republicans. And redistricting has made Democrats' chances of regaining a majority in the House of Representatives much harder. Meanwhile, George W. Bush continues to co-opt many of the Democrats' popular ideas, such as a Homeland Security Department and Medicare prescription drug coverage. This has caused some Democrats to take a hard look at their party and what they must do to start winning again. NPR's Mara Liasson reports.
After two stinging electoral defeats, which left them without the White House or Congress, Democrats are frustrated and itching for a fight. Randy Button is the state chair of the Tennessee Democratic Party.
I think we can do a lot of things better. I think the national leaders of the Democrat Party have got to be more proactive. We've got to go toe-to-toe and face-to-face with the administration. And we've got to talk about why we're different, and we have to offer an alternative. We can't let the Republicans box us in or talk to folks about what we're against. We have to talk about what we're for.
Democrats are wandering in the political wilderness, fighting among themselves and facing accusations that they're out of ideas and stuck in a defensive crouch. They're angry about the election they believe was stolen in 2000 and the one they fumbled in 2002. That's a long way from the glory years when Bill Clinton dominated the political scene. He redefined his party as New Democrats and moved to the center successfully enough to get himself reelected, but not to leave his party in better shape. Rahm Emanuel was once a top advisor in the Clinton White House.
There is no doubt, once I think President Clinton left the stage, the party splintered intellectually, lost not only its intellectual center, but its strategic center. And that is hard to replace. There is no doubt about it.
Emanuel symbolizes the change in the Democrats' fortunes. 3 years ago, he worked a few feet away from the Oval Office, developing strategy and tactics for President Clinton. Now he's a freshman Democrat in a House of Representatives that Republicans rule with an iron hand.
Obviously, it helps when you have the White House. There's no microphone more powerful in the world than the one in the Rose Garden. In the White House, you're negotiating legislation, the timing, what a president says, you're working with departments, you're determining the schedule of certain things, and a minority. You're a minority member of the United States Congress. It is the lowest rung you can get. That you ain't anything lower in the food chain than that in this town.
In Congress, Democrats have not yet developed the skills of a disciplined insurgent minority. They repeatedly provide President Bush with just enough Democratic votes so he can pass his bills without having to compromise. In contrast, the Republicans demonstrated lockstep unity during the Clinton years, blocking major legislation over and over. Out in the country, it's true that more people still call themselves Democrats than Republicans, and Democrats point out that when polled, more voters agree with their positions than the Republicans on many domestic issues. But that didn't help the party in 2002, says John Podesta, President Clinton's former chief of staff.
The Democratic message, if you will, was something of a mush, and there was no clear sense that Democrats wanted to take the country in a direction that was going to produce job growth, that was going to produce a country that was going to remain safe and secure. So I think they just got swamped across the board.
A recent New York Times poll asked voters which party had a clear agenda for the country. 50% said the Republicans, only 40% chose the Democrats. Podesta and others want to change that perception. New York Senator Hillary Rodham Clinton, a powerhouse inside the party, wants to create what you might call a left-wing conspiracy, the equivalent of the right-wing conspiracy she blamed during the Lewinsky affair.
We have to join together and be more effective in breaking through. I give the right tremendous credit. For 40 years, they have built up an infrastructure of think tanks, endowed professorships, you know, business support for all kinds of their political agendas. And therefore, we have to play some catch-up, because if we're going to have a good debate in this country, we have to have as robust and well-informed and effective voices on the center-left progressive side of the political ledger as we do on the, you know, right radical side.
Hillary Clinton and other Democrats want a progressive counterpart to what they see as an increasingly dominant right-wing presence in the public debate. Former Vice President Al Gore has been exploring the idea of creating a cable TV network, the Democrats' answer to Fox News. And a pair of Chicago venture capitalists are trying to start a liberal talk radio network to talk back to Rush Limbaugh. In September, John Podesta will open the American Majority Institute, a progressive think tank modeled after the Conservative Heritage Foundation. With a $10 million a year budget, it will provide ideas, programs, and talking heads to compete with what Democrats see as an army of articulate, ubiquitous conservatives.
Obviously, the conservative elements in this country have put together tremendous infrastructure, an infrastructure of ideas, an infrastructure of communication. That's long-term work. They've been patient and been doing it for the past 30 or 40 years. They've put those elements together, which I think fuel both an aggressive idea machine and a very aggressive public relations machine, as well as a servicing a sort of a grassroots constituency building function.
Critics inside and outside of the party say Democrats need to figure out what they stand for before they can win the public debate again. But Podesta rejects that notion. The Democrats' basic beliefs are clear, he says. What they need are the plans and people to take the fight to the Republicans.
I think you have to really begin with your heart and soul saying we're right and they're wrong. The basic principles are trying to expand the circle of opportunity so that every American has a chance to get ahead, so that we have a socially just country. I think that Democrats more easily find the fact that the government does have an important role to play in making the country a better place to live than the Republicans. So I think you start there, but you also have to have the means of communicating that message, of simplifying it. But the fight is a fight about ideas and direction.
Podesta's American Majority Institute and the other Democratic efforts are meant to help the party regroup over the long term and to help whomever is the Democratic nominee next year. But the outcome of that election, says Norm Ornstein, a political analyst at the American Enterprise Institute, may be influenced more by forces that neither Republicans nor Democrats can control. Ornstein is a contrarian on the issue of the Democrats' troubles. He says the talk that Democrats are out of ideas and energy is everywhere these days, but he doesn't put too much stock in it.
There's something to it, but there's something to it for every party that's in the minority, that doesn't have the White House, that doesn't have any kind of forum in a formal fashion to take on a president. But just remember that there's nothing wrong with the Democrats that 10% unemployment wouldn't cure. In other words, if things are going well, you can't beat an incumbent president no matter who you are. If things aren't going well, then all of a sudden the talk about how they don't stand for anything, they don't have their act together, is going to disappear.
And the same goes for the Republicans, says Ornstein. If the economy tanks and the world is out of order, it also won't matter how much political talent and money President Bush has been able to assemble. Mara Liasson, NPR News, Washington.